full of fun.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Come along and join us as we visit with Rose Reichart, the owner of Superior Bathhouse Brewery. It's in a national park. How cool. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Tom. Nice to see you again.
I know. One of the reasons I came back to Hot Springs, Arkansas was you. What's your current passion and what are you concocting in the back room?
Current passion? Well, we just had a fantastic summer. We've had record month after record month, and as a brewery owner, what that allows me to do is add capacity to my brewery. That doesn't sound that exciting, but really it's very, very exciting because not only do I get to make more beer, I can make better beer, and I can make different kinds of beer, which is my passion. We've talked in the past about how beer making is an artistic process for me, and to be able to have extra tanks and extra kegs so that I can maybe do a really wild experiment once in a while is super fun. So, of course, my goal is to have enough beer to sell to all the people who want to drink it, but personally, I want to make sure that I can check beers off my beer bucket list. And I've mentioned this in the past, but my hot spring water that I brew with makes a great German-style beer. The chemistry of the water really lends itself to those idioms. I really enjoy Oktoberfest time. I made twice as much of it as I made last year because we sold out in before October last year when we introduced our Marzen. We call it Oktoberfest beer. Number one, I wanted the longest possible German-sounding name. That's one word. Number two, I went to school playing the tuba and got to live in Europe for a year playing the tuba. So I had to get the word tuba into some beer.
Well, the story I tell to people around the country about you is, oh my gosh, this is the only brewmaster that's working within, producing within a national park, one. Number two, the only brewmaster or brewster producing beer anywhere in the world with spring water. Tell us about that. Thermal spring water.
Thermal spring water, that is correct. Hot Springs National Park has a very unique distinction in the world in that we have 47 different springs producing hot water, thermal spring water. It comes to the surface between 140 and 148 degrees Fahrenheit. It's aggregated by the National Park Service into a single stream, and it is a sanitary stream from spring to outlet so that the health department can approve it as a potable water source, because beer is, after all, a food product, and to manufacture beer, you have to have beer from an approved water source. So that is a little bit boring until you realize that we have the only potable hot spring water, to my knowledge, in the world, where a brewery has also been constructed in order to use that hot spring water.
When I think of a thermal hot spring anywhere in the world, I immediately conjure as an olfactory experience sulfur.
Yes, our water is very, very low in sulfur. It's sulfur-free. The geology of the area is such that we have a geothermal fault that forces the hot water up through essentially a limestone bed. There are other minerals, but so we have a water pressure forced through rock before it reaches the surface, and it's very, very hot. It picks up an alkalinity from the limestone, but there are very few salts present, so we don't have the calcium, magnesium, the potassium that a lot of spring water does. Much spring water is hard water. This is a soft water. It's pretty high in pH, and it's hot, which is the best part.
There are, on one level, very few variables in the process of making beer. It's not that complex ingredients, and yet there's a whole world within those ingredients. Talk hops, grains, and yeast for a moment.
Absolutely. Hops, grains, yeast, water. I'm going to add water into that, and adjunct ingredients. Maybe a fruit, maybe an herb or spice, or a something like orange peel. So, yes, beer is the same essential recipe from start to finish. We extract sugar from grains, and we bring it to a boil. We add hops or maybe other ingredients at that point. And then we chill it down. We add yeast, and the yeast does the magic. The yeast does all the work, which turns that sugar into alcohol, CO2, and flavors.
Talk about variables within your choices of yeast, because that can be a game changer.
To me, yeast is the majority flavor changer in a beer. You can make the exact same beer as far as your grains and hops go and have two different yeasts, and you can have a very fruity, very spicy beer, maybe a Saison yeast from Belgium, or you could have a very dry, crisp beer from maybe a Pilsen lager yeast. My metaphor is yeast are like dogs. You can have a Great Dane, or you can have a Chihuahua, and they have different personalities, and they have different body shapes, but they're both dogs. So there are as many different breeds or strains of yeast as there are dogs, and as a brewster, which is a word you just taught me, as a brewster, that's one of the best decisions I get to make is, what is this beer going to taste like, and which yeast will give me that final result I'm looking for?
But you're ahead of the curve. You're doing this anticipatory visualization of where you're going to have a taste experience down the road.
Definitely. Like I said, I have a beer bucket list, and part of adding more tanks to my brewery is so that I can try more of those experiments. One of my favorite examples is I have a tank over there whose name is Hank the Tank, and Hank the Tank is a special tank in that, unlike my other tanks, he's not temperature controlled. So yeast operate at certain temperatures, and most of my tanks have a thermostat on them to where I can set the fermentation temperature where I want it. If it's a lager yeast, it's a lower fermentation temperature. If it's an ale, it's a higher fermentation temperature. Hank does not have the benefit of the temperature control. But I love to brew into Hank because we can choose strains of yeast that number one can handle higher temperatures because yeast create an exothermic chemical reaction. Yeast put out their own heat to the point where yeast can kill themselves, or yeast can render themselves unable to keep producing beer by producing their own heat. So Hank is the correct geometry, correct shape. It's uninsulated so that I can use really special yeasts in this tank that, we tend to get the wilder flavors out of Hank. And I'm not talking about wild yeast, like I'm not talking about a Brettanomyces or anything, but I'm talking about maybe a Saison yeast or a Belgian yeast that can handle fermentations of 78, 80, 82 degrees Fahrenheit, which is much higher than some ales prefer to operate, but higher temperature fermentations throw off some really interesting flavors. You'll get a clove-y flavor, a banana-y flavor, a bubblegum kind of flavor, real spicy flavors. So,
But it's up to Hank.
It is somewhat up to Hank. I mean, I can, set the thermostat in the room and hope the room temperature helps me out. But, if it's the middle of the summer, if it's August where it's hot in Hot Springs, Arkansas, I'll pick the highest temperature yeast I can do. When we start to get a little bit colder and the room temperature is maybe more in the normal ales, I can do a yeast that maybe is a top fermenter. I lived in England. I hope this isn't too much of a tangent, but I lived in England, and some of my favorite beers come from Samuel Smith's brewery or the old Ringwood brewery, and they traditionally used open fermentation, meaning they had big square stone tanks in which they made their beer.
With no top.
With no top, and you can see the yeast floating on top of the beer in the tank. That's incredible. Most modern brewery tanks are not set up for open fermentation.
That's something that you would like to do, I think. I remember you saying.
It's something I'm very interested in doing. I have a collection of stainless steel bathtubs that were from the bathhouse when it operated as a bathhouse. They would make great open fermenters. I haven't been able to modify them quite yet. Process isn't ready for that. But back to Hank the Tank. I can actually take the lid off the top of Hank the Tank and use him like a open fermenter. So now,
what advantage does that give you in your end product?
The particular yeast I'm excited about, the Ringwood yeast, really makes a delicious kind of a butterscotch flavor, toffee butterscotch, very British ale flavor. And the reason, part of that is it creates these huge colonies that float on the top of the beer. And the reason they do that, it likes a lot of oxygen exchange for this yeast. So this yeast finds itself living at the top of the fermentation. It likes a lot of air. So here we are in Hank. The lid is off of Hank, and I can look in with my flashlight and see these colonies of yeast doing their thing at the top. So not doing the full open fermentation, but I can get a little bit of that character by doing that. That's, to me, this is the fun part of making beer, is having a final product in mind and trying my hardest to recreate it.
From what I remember right now, even, you pretty much sell out 100% of your production basically on site. Maybe you wheel a little bit down the street to a restaurant, and that's about it, right?
That's correct. We get very, very busy in the summer and during spring break, and, really, year-round, I'm so thankful to say.
Any dreams or visions or thoughts about statewide distribution?
Maybe not statewide, but I am looking to distribute into some the large regional markets. Maybe not even so much as a production brewery would to, for that to be a giant part of my revenue stream, but what I do want, I see those, you know, those beers out in the market as my little ambassadors, my little foot soldiers, because people in Arkansas know about Hot Springs, and a lot of them come to Hot Springs.
So it's a calling card.
It's a calling card. So, you know, when people come down to enjoy the lakes or the national park or the racetrack, we have a horse track here at Oaklawn, I want them to say, wow, next time we go to Hot Springs, we should go to the Superior and try their beer there.
That's you could fun. Get them down the street to the racetrack, right?
Definitely. I would love to be on tap at the racetrack. Really, this year, we're just starting this push. So that's another reason to add more capacity.
And how long have you been open?
I just started my fourth year being open in July. We've been brewing for almost 2 years. When we first opened, we weren't ready to brew yet. So we had to get the kinks out of operating a restaurant and a bar in a historic building on federal property.
And how old were you when you started?
Well, I must have been 28 when we started.
Gutsy mama. Rose Reichardt, what a joy and what a pleasure to see you again.
Thank you, Tom. Always nice to talk to you when you come to town.
Very cool. We've been speaking with Rose Reichardt, the owner of Superior Bathhouse Brewery in a national park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We'll see you there.
Bye.
We'll have a barrel of fun.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Melissa Corbin reporting Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
The Beer Barrel Boys.